Hello and welcome to a new edition of RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior, in English. This is the international service of the Argentine Radio, transmitting from the city of Buenos Aires via the shortwaves of WRMI, Miami Radio International, and also via internet on RAE.com.ar. My name is Fernando Farias, and I'm going to be bringing you this show in English for Tuesday, January 14, 2025. We'll have, as usual, news, sports, and we'll be presenting two features. One is music-related and is a selection of songs that have some connection to the city of Buenos Aires. Songs of various genres, not just tango music, which may be what you be guessing now, but not only tango. Let me give you that preview. We'll also have a feature on the reunion in 2024 of the golden generation of Argentine basketball, La Generación Dorada, known this way because they won the gold medal for Argentina in the Olympics of Athens 2004. It was a major feat in the history of not just basketball but sports. The team, featuring stars such as Manu Ginobili, got together in 2024 for a reunion marking 20 years from that achievement. That will be the content of today's program, but all of that will come after the news that begin right away, as usual, with the headlines. Casa Rosada called for extraordinary sessions in Congress to discuss several projects. The government of Buenos Aires reported a drop in poverty levels in the capital. Venezuela and Portugal condemned the attack on the Venezuelan embassy in Lisbon. A heat wave in Argentina sparked health alerts and concerns over rising electricity demand. Sports: Gonzalo Montiel returns to River Plate, joining three other World Cup champions on the team. And these are the news. The Argentine government has called for extraordinary sessions in Congress starting January 20. Through an official announcement, the Casa Rosada outlined its agenda, including a proposal to abolish mandatory primary elections known as PASO. The administration argues that this vote, introduced in 2009, which takes place 2 months before the general election, are costly and redundant. The government also plans to push for the Clean Slate Bill, which would bar convicted individuals from running for office. Another key objective is to secure approval for the new Supreme Court nominees. While the pro-party of former President Mauricio Macri welcomed the sessions, they criticized the omission of the 2025 budget debate. In other news, the Buenos Aires government reported a decline in poverty levels in the capital. According to official data, over 860,000 residents were classified as poor in the third quarter of 2024. This marks a reduction of more than 120,000 people compared to the previous quarter. However, on an annual basis, poverty levels saw an increase of 70,000 individuals. A heat wave is causing alarm across Argentina, with authorities issuing health warnings about heat stroke risks. Some provinces have recorded temperatures exceeding 40 degrees Celsius. The rising temperatures have also heightened concerns over electricity demand, particularly in Buenos Aires metropolitan area, which is the country's most populated region. On Monday at 2 p.m., official data recorded electricity consumption at 24,159 megawatts, nearly 1,000 megawatts higher than Sunday's usage and almost 3,000 above last week's levels. The Portuguese government condemned an attack on Venezuela's consulate in Lisbon. Foreign Minister Paulo Rangel denounced the incident in a social media post, describing it as an intolerable act. The minister ordered enhanced security measures and an investigation into the incident. Caracas also condemned the attack, which involved incendiary devices thrown at its diplomatic mission hours after Nicolás Maduro's third-term inauguration. Venezuelan Foreign Minister Iván Gil described the act as irrational aggression and vowed it would not disrupt the progress of the so-called Bolivarian Revolution. Official reports indicate that unknown assailants hurled a Molotov cocktail at the consulate, causing minor damage to the building's facade, but no injuries. And in sports, Gonzalo Montiel is returning to River Plate, reunited with the Buenos Aires club after 3.5 years at Sevilla in Spain. Montiel, let's recall, made history by scoring the decisive penalty in Argentina's World Cup final against France. He joins Franco Armani, Germán Petzela, and Marcos Acuña as River's 4 World Cup winning players from Qatar 2022. And these were the news on RAE, Radiodifusión Argentina al Exterior. The golden generation of Argentina's basketball.
Va a ser campeón olímpico Argentina, histórico, glorioso, increíble, realmente increíble la victoria olímpica de Argentina. Va a ganar Argentina, va a ser campeón olímpico, el momento más
glorioso. Baile, con baile.
De la historia del deporte argentino, campeón olímpico, el momento más brillante. Del básquetbol argentino, increíble. Los subcampeones del mundo ahora son campeones olímpicos. Y ahora el básquetbol argentino es campeón olímpico. Sí, gritalo. Abrácense que vale la pena. Abrácense que se lo ganaron. Bien merecido, Argentina.
Argentina's golden generation of basketball reunited 20 years after their historic gold medal win at the Athens 2004 Olympic Games, from which that audio was. The gathering took place at Parque Roca in Buenos Aires and brought together the 12 players who achieved the greatest milestone in the country's basketball history. The squad, featuring Pepe Sánchez, Manu Ginóbili, Chapu Nocioni, Luis Scola, Fabricio Oberto, Alejandro Montecchia, Carlos Delfino, Walter Herman, Leo Gutiérrez, Colo Wolkowiski, Hugo Sconocini, and Gabriel Fernández, was celebrated with a well-deserved tribute. It was an emotional night, filled with special guests and heartfelt recognition from the audience in attendance.
Argentina es campeón olímpico, medalla dorada para la selección argentina.
Para mí es la imagen de excelencia que tengo como entrenador.
To me, that's the image of excellence I keep in mind as a coach. That picture of the Argentine flag, the Italian flag, the US flag, to me it is very valuable. When you feel the gold medal on your chest, your whole career passes before your eyes. But the best image of all is when they raise all the flags, because one is used to seeing the American one always on top in tournaments, and this time seeing the Argentine one first and the American one third, well, we were trying to hold back the tears. Singing the anthems with passion and seeing the US was below us on the podium. And I remember feeling the Americans were seeing us as having their rightful place.
Pensando que a lo mejor ese era su lugar, ¿no?
Argentina's golden generation of basketball represents one of the most glorious chapters in the nation's sports history. This group of players achieved historic milestones and elevated Argentine basketball to the global stage. With talented and charismatic figures like Manu Ginóbili, Luis Scola, Andrés Nocioni, Fabricio Oberto, Carlos Delfino,
Pepe Sánchez and Rubén Volkovisky, the Golden Generation not only collected titles, but also established a playing style and philosophy that inspired future generations.
Vamos por uno más, a bloquear el rebote. Eso seguramente le está pidiendo Oberto. El silbido ahora es argentino. El lanzamiento es para Tomasevic. Repitió el 1 de 2. Vamos rápido a la ofensiva. Arranca Montecchia. El pase para Gino.
¡Doble! ¡Doble! Impresionante. ¡Doble!
What defined this generation was not just the individual talent of its players, but also their collective style of play, built on teamwork, strategy and on-court intelligence. Led by Manu Ginobili, the most iconic player of this era, the team prioritized passing, collaboration and creativity. Their style combined a strong, organized defense with a fluid, fast-paced offense and a blend of European and North American influences.
El 2004, que haya simplemente dos países, la Unión Soviética no está más, Yugoslavia no está más, que tenían medalla de oro, Estados Unidos y
In 2004, only two countries had won gold medals. The Soviet Union did not exist anymore, Yugoslavia did not exist anymore, so being the only ones alongside the US with gold medals puts us in a very exclusive group. This style of play made him particularly effective against teams like the US, whose players were mostly NBA stars with a more individualistic approach. In contrast, the Golden Generation seized every opportunity to leverage their collective strengths, and it was this cohesion that made them nearly unbeatable.
Ninguno nació en una cuna de oro, ninguno fue un predestinado. Pero fue laburo, fue relegar cosas.
Nobody was born in a gold cradle. Nobody was destined to glory. It was hard work, giving up things, like not traveling with my high school friends because I had a game. It was not going out much on Fridays, Saturdays, because all I cared about was playing well on Sunday. And to go out at age 14 and 15 and drink or smoke, like many of my friends would do, well, I didn't want those things. I wanted to play basketball, and I wanted to play it well. And that was much more important than anything else. And let me tell you, Fabio, Luis, Pepe, they will all tell you the same thing. The runners-up finish at the 2002 Basketball World Cup in Indianapolis, USA, marked the beginning of the Golden Generation. In the semifinals, Argentina defeated the US, becoming the first team to beat them on their home soil. Although Argentina lost the final to Yugoslavia, this tournament was a turning point, a clear signal that this group of players was ready to challenge the world's powerhouses and achieve greatness.
38. Segundos, ocho décimas, va a ir con el segundo intento. Anota, otro más. 10 de ventaja para Argentina, últimos segundos para acariciar la gloria al equipo argentino. Va Baron Davis de tres, afuera la pelota que se va. Va a ganar Argentina, va a ganar Argentina. Increíble, primera derrota en la historia de los Dream Team. Desde 1992 hasta hoy, nunca perdió un equipo formado por jugadores de la NBA. Va a perder frente a Argentina.
The Golden Generation's most memorable achievement came at the Athens 2004 Olympic Games. Argentina defeated a star-studded NBA American team in the semifinals, delivering a historic performance that left everyone in awe. With a brilliant showing from Ginobili and a solid collective defense, Argentina advanced to the final, where they beat Italy to claim the gold medal. This victory established Argentina as a global basketball powerhouse and turned the players into national heroes. The bronze medal later at the Beijing 2008 Olympics was the Golden Generation's final great triumph, proving their success was no fluke. Despite facing injuries and younger opponents, Argentina secured the bronze, solidifying their legacy and reaffirming the greatness of this generation, which once again showed they could compete at the highest level.
Ese día que perdimos el partido de la medalla de bronce fue una de las derrotas más amargas para mí. Fuimos al vestuario.
That day when we lost in the bronze medal game, it was one of the most bitter defeats I can remember. We went to the changing room and some were crying, and I said something that I can't even remember. And we were putting our hands together to say, "Go Argentina," and Scola says, "Can I say something?" And he tells players, "We played well again and competed for the medal. We didn't win this time, but I'd rather be defeated with you guys wearing these colors than winning with somebody else." Manu Ginobili is undoubtedly one of the greatest international players of all time. Excelling in the NBA with the San Antonio Spurs, the Argentine national team, and during his stint in Europe. His ability to score in critical moments, his creativity, and his leadership both on and off the court made him the central figure of this generation. In addition to the medals won at the Olympic Games, Manu earned 4 NBA championships and a EuroLeague title. And today is a member of the NBA Hall of Fame.
Qué lindo fue jugar con ustedes. Qué placer. Saber que en cada cancha que íbamos a hacer un grupo así, que nos íbamos a estar cuidando las espaldas en cualquier lugar, que íbamos a festejar juntos.
It was so nice playing with you guys. What a pleasure to know that we would be such a group in every court we'd play, that we'd be covering each other's backs everywhere, that we'd be celebrating together. When winning, we'd have a very good time, but losing, we'd have an even better time because we'd say to each other priceless things, and that would consolidate our friendship and our group. So for all the time together, for all those friendships and those experiences, thank you very much. Luis Scola was another of the greatest figures in Argentine sports. A tireless and dedicated player, he was crucial in the paint and became Argentina's top scorer in multiple international tournaments. His commitment and professionalism made him one of the most respected players on the national team and a role model for future generations. Scola also had a notable career in the NBA, playing for 10 years in the league. He played for teams like the Houston Rockets, Indiana Pacers and Toronto Raptors, among others.
Un equipo que trasciende por muchas otras cosas más allá del básquet. Yo pienso que se creó un grupo.
A team that is so much more than basketball. I believe a very nice group was formed with mutual respect that always worked to improve. And I believe we pushed boundaries. To me, the best thing achieved was Manu Ginobili being part of the golden generation and Luis Scola too. So it's not the individual level, but the team what prevail. And that's the reason for being so transcendental. Andrés El Chapo Nocioni was the heart and the soul of the team. Known for his intensity and energy on the court, Nocioni was a relentless defender and a reliable scorer. His ability to adapt to different roles and his fighting spirit were crucial to the team's success. He also had a stint in the NBA, playing for the Chicago Bulls, Sacramento Kings, and Philadelphia 76ers. Over 8 years in the league, Nocioni was part of a wave of Argentine players making an impact in the US alongside teammates Pepe Sanchez, Fabricio Oberto, Carlos Delfino, and Walter Herrmann.
El privilegio enorme que tengo de ser parte de ese equipo, tanto en la victoria en el 2004 cuando
the enormous privilege of being part of that team, both in victory when we were elated with the win in 2004, celebrating, as in defeat like in Spain. I didn't want to be anywhere else but with this team, losing that game. The success of the Golden Generation inspired many international teams to rethink their approaches. Until then, global basketball was dominated by the US, especially in FIBA tournaments and the Olympic Games. But Argentina, with its focus on collective and tactical play, proved that a well-trained and committed team could compete at the same level as NBA superstars.
Pero cómo cada uno entendió su rol y el apoyo mutuo y el respeto mutuo. Pero hay miles de ejemplos de situaciones.
Each of us understood each one's role, the mutual respect and support. I've got tons of examples, things I've never seen playing with other teams. I won NBA championships 3 times, and you could say I was in the world's best team, but it's not the same. It's not the same, not the same feeling, the same security when one steps on the court. I won championships in Europe, and it was a tremendous team I was a part of. But what we were feeling for the man next to us, I don't feel can be felt anywhere else, because we are united through a great friendship with Chapu, with Luis, with Fabri, with Pepe, with El Puma, who later left. Many things happened for this group to exist. So apart from individual talent and the fact that 5 or 6 got to play in the NBA, this is what made this team stand out. Over the years, most members of the Golden Generation have retired, even though some, like Luis Scola, extended their careers as long as possible, showing their love for the game and commitment to the country. The legacy of this generation goes beyond the titles. Their success solidified Argentina as a basketball powerhouse and left a roadmap for future generations. The reunion of the Golden Generation of Argentina's basketball, a feature of RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior, by Luis Pandini.
Okay, folks, we're going to do something now, an exploration of some songs that speak about Buenos Aires. How many songs exist that speak about the cities they were created? Many, and you can think of New York, London, LA, San Francisco. Well, big cities have always inspired artists, and in the case of music, that is usually the case. So we're going to do a little exploration of some songs across genres. You're going to notice how different the genres are that have inspired artists. Songs that talk about Buenos Aires, songs inspired by Buenos Aires, songs dedicated to neighborhoods of Buenos Aires, or songs that mention things about Buenos Aires. But let us start simply with a cover. A cover of a song by Leonard Skinner, the Southern Rock Band. Everybody recognizes this riff. It's Sweet Home Alabama. Well, Javier Calamaro converted the lyrics to Spanish and he dedicated the song to his city, Buenos Aires. Sweet Home, Buenos Aires.
We'll be right back.
Well, that's Javier Calamaro with his Spanish rendition of Sweet Home Alabama. He changed the lyrics and he changed the name of the location that he calls Sweet Home. Sweet Home Buenos Aires. And Charlie Garcia dedicated several songs to Buenos Aires, but one that has got the word Buenos Aires in the title is this one that we are going to be playing now, which is a track that was written during the Malvinas War. Do not drop bombs on Buenos Aires. No bombarden Buenos Aires. Well, that's Charlie Garcia with No Bombarde in Buenos Aires. We are going over a list of tracks, songs that are dedicated to Buenos Aires or speak about Buenos Aires or talk about parts of Buenos Aires. And now we are going to play a track that talk about Corrientes Avenue, Central Avenue in Buenos Aires, filled with pizzerias, theaters, cinema houses, and nightlife and bookshops. They had their heyday back in the 60s and 70s, and now it's a glorious time for Corrientes Avenue again. And the guys of Memphis La Blusera dedicated something of an anthem to Corrientes Avenue. Moscato, pizza y faina, which is a typical combination of pizza, a glass of sweet wine, and a slice of faina, which is kind of a side dish with pizza. There it goes.
La base a la hora.
Okay, that's Memphis La Blusera with Moscato Pizza y Fainá, as we said. It's something that's very typical. It's like French fries and a hamburger in pizza. And it's closely associated with Corrientes Avenue of Buenos Aires, Central Avenue. If you come over to the Argentine capital, you're going to see that it's full of lights. And it looks like, I don't know, Broadway or kind of a 10% of Times Square. But it has that appeal. I mean, nightlife, theaters, and pizza, pizzerias. And that's why Memphis named this song Moscato Pizza and Faina. And we're going to play now something that, well, some locals would frown upon, because I have to say that the opera rock Evita by Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice is not unanimously loved or worshipped in Argentina. But I'm just playing it first to give the listeners of the English Language Service the possibility of enjoying a lyric, because this is in English and you will understand it. But also because the song talks about the importance Buenos Aires had for people like Eva Perón. Buenos Aires was and is the most important city in the country. So many people from the interior, from the hinterland, had the dream of coming over to Buenos Aires, triumph, have success, see the lights of the city, become a star, as Eva Perón did. And this is actually, well, you can hear the train in the background of Evita arriving to the Argentine capital. Buenos Aires, sung by Madonna. Well, that's Madonna from the movie and the album Evita, you know, the opera rock play that was made so famous, that became so famous all over the world. And there's a track called Buenos Aires. Now, let us enjoy a track that is inspired by another key neighborhood in Buenos Aires, Chacarita, that is famous for its massive cemetery. And right by Chacarita on Rodney Street, there used to be a bar. Any bar, but so typical, so porteño, that inspired Diego Frenkel, the leader of La Portuaria, to write this song. El bar de la calle Rodney. The Rodney Streets Bar.
Salgo a caminar sin un rumbo en un día cualquiera, pero un día cualquiera puede ser mucho más. Hacia la parte de atrás del cementerio, cruzando el parque, llego a un bar. Mm-hmm.
A country's values aired on radio. Ride, Argentina.
Well, obviously, we can't leave tango out of this overview of songs or tracks or music dedicated to the city of Buenos Aires. This is the city of tango, and tango is the music of Buenos Aires. So there are tons of tracks dedicated to Buenos Aires or to neighborhoods. We just picked some one not that well known, and obviously an anthem for the sign off. This is Osvaldo Pugliese and Miguel Montero with ¿Qué te pasa, Buenos Aires? What's up, Buenos Aires?
Son mías porque en ellas crecí yo. Oye, bueno, ¿qué te pasa, Buenos Aires? ¿Qué cambiará esta la calle, mi amor? Yo soñaba ver corriendo la porteña con su palco de tangueros soñadores. De lo bueno, ya no queda ni una seña para verte así cambiar. Yo me voy. ¿Qué te pasa, Buenos Aires? Ya no sos aquella de antes. Pareces agonizante, sin tango, sin emoción. ¿Qué te pasa, Buenos Aires? Si así te viera, Carlitos, volvería al infinito llorando de indignación. Reclamándote, cabrero, pongan los palcos tangueros, no me hagan pasar con...
That singer Miguel Montero with the orchestra of Maestro Osvaldo Pugliese with ¿Qué te pasa, Buenos Aires? And we move on now to the neighborhood of Barracas in the southern part of the city. There used to be a train station called Tres Esquinas, because Tres Esquinas means three corners. That whole area in Barracas in the past, near the Riachuelo, used to be known as Tres Esquinas. Very few people call that part Tres Esquinas anymore. But fortunately, it survives this fantastic piece that was made famous by singer Ángel Vargas.
Soy del barrio de Tres Esquinas, viejo baluarte de un arrabal. donde florecen como glicinas las lindas pibas de delantal, donde en la noche tibia y serena su antiguo aroma vuelca al malvón, y bajo el cielo de luna llena duermen las chatas del corralón. Soy de ese barrio de humilde rango, yo soy el tango sentimental. Soy de ese barrio que toma mates bajo la sombra que da el parral. En sus ochavas, compadre de mozo, tiré la daga por un loco amor. Quemé los ojos de una maleva la ardiente ceba de mi pasión.
And this is Tres Esquinas by Ángel Vargas, and obviously, what are we leaving for the end? Carlos Gardel. And Carlos Gardel has got this beautiful track, Mi Buenos Aires Querido, My Beloved Buenos Aires, that talks about nostalgia, being homesick of Buenos Aires, and that's something that happens to many of us, including yours truly. Once you are abroad, once you're away from home, you start really, really valuing how beautiful Buenos Aires is, and once you return, you start seeing and loving the Argentine capital with new strength and with new passion. So we end this special of songs, Buenos Aires songs, with Carlos Gardel, obviously, and My Beloved Buenos Aires.
Mi Buenos Aires querido, cuando yo te vuelvo a ver, no habrá más pena ni olvido. El farolito de la calle en que nací fue el centinela de mis promesas de amor. Bajo su quieta lucecita yo la vi, a mi bebé tan luminosa como un sol. Hoy que la suerte quiere que te vuelva a ver, ciudad porteña de mi único querer, oigo la queja de un bandoneón, dentro de mi pecho pide rienda al corazón. Mi Buenos Aires, tierra florida, donde mi vida terminaré. Bajo tu amparo no hay desengaño, vuelan los años, se olvida el dolor. En caravana los recuerdos pasan con una estela dulce de emoción. Quiero que sepas que al evocarte se van las penas del corazón. La ventanita de mi calle de arrabal, donde me sonríe una muchachita en flor. Quiero de nuevo yo volver a contemplar aquellos ojos que acarician al mirar. En la cortada más maleva una canción dice su ruego de coraje y de pasión, una promesa y un suspirar, borra una lágrima de pena aquel cantar. Mi Buenos Aires querido, cuando yo te vuelva a ver, para más pena ni olvido.
El mate no es una bebida, es más bien una costumbre, como rascarse. Cuando llega alguien a tu casa, la primera frase es hola, y la segunda, unos mates.
Mate is a custom, says radio host Lalomir. It's a custom like scratching yourself. When someone arrives at your place at home, the first thing you say is, hello, good morning, welcome. But then you say, hey, do you want some mate?
Ese mate está perfecto, ni se te ocurra tocarlo. La bombilla está requieta, no la muevas con la mano. Ya puso primero y la montaña la arruinó. La mueve de arriba para abajo, de abajo para arriba y te digo para, para, para. Déjala quieta y toma, toma. La mueve de arriba para abajo y te digo para, para.
The culture of mate has experienced remarkable expansion worldwide in recent decades. It has been adopted by many in Europe, especially in Spain and Italy, where various enthusiasts drink it regularly. The Argentine and Uruguayan diaspora has carried mate to other countries, keeping its traditions alive by organizing gatherings and sharing the culture. Zoe Saldana, an American actress and model, of Dominican and Puerto Rican background, is counted among its drinkers, and she states.
Empezó en realidad cuando yo era jovencita viviendo en la República Dominicana, que teníamos algunos amigos que eran chilenos y argentinos que iban a la misma escuela que yo. La primera vez que lo probé, me sentí tan despierta.
I drink mate, I like it. I started having it as a young girl in the Dominican Republic, thanks to some Chilean friends that went to school with me. As an adult, I reconnected with mate thanks to my makeup artist. She's from Buenos Aires and drinks it every day. I like it with a little sugar, and she taught me that the water should never boil. I pour the water, leaving some of the yerba dry, and I drink my mate. Mate has been incorporated into wellness and healthy lifestyle trends, and many people see it as an alternative to other caffeinated beverages, appreciating its benefits and the social ritual of sharing it. The growth of the mate market has led to an increase in related products, from bombillas, the straws, to containers or gourds, and also flavored mate herbs. Local and international brands are starting to take mate further and further. In some countries, events and festivals dedicated to mate have begun to be celebrated, educating people about its preparation and consumption, thus strengthening its cultural presence. Sabrina Carpenter, a popular actress and singer in the United States, is also a fan of mate.
Fans know that I have a very terrible obsession with yerba mate. It's an Argentinian tea. I'm just really, I've been an addiction for quite some.
Platforms like Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter have allowed celebrities and users to share their experiences with mate, generating curiosity and interest around the social media universe. This has contributed to its global visibility. This South American beverage is very common in the football environment. More and more sports people worldwide are drinking mate, as it is beneficial and considered a nootropic due to its stimulating and energizing properties. Physicians recommend having it before training, assuring that athletic performance can increase by up to 5%. And this is due to the benefits this infusion, this beverage, brings both for the mind as well as the body. American actor Viggo Mortensen, of Lord of the Rings fame, lived in Argentina as a child, in the province of Chaco and in Buenos Aires City as well. And in an interview, Viggo has shared how he started drinking mate.
De niño, era en verano. Y en verano se hace una cosa, en vez de agua caliente se le mete, por ejemplo, jugo de naranja, muy fría, y le
dicen, as a child, in the summer, instead of hot water, mate is made with very cold orange juice, because of the heat. They call it tereré, and it keeps you awake without making you too nervous, like coffee. And with mate, you can go all day. In this report, we'll introduce some international celebrities who have shown their appreciation for mate, influencing their followers for, and helping popularize this drink in countries like the US and also in Europe. With Leo Messi and Uruguay's Luis Suarez as main representatives and promoters and ambassadors, the football world is one of the environments where mate has penetrated the most. Influenced by them, Brazil's Neymar Jr. became a regular consumer. Cristiano Ronaldo started drinking mate thanks to footballers Rodrigo Bentancur and Paulo Dybala, with whom he integrated Juventus in Turin. He's often seen sharing mate with his Argentine wife, Georgina Rodriguez. Another footballer, Juan Román Riquelme, one of the top figures in the history of the sport in the country, has said. I've got two very big vices. One is drinking mate, the other is eating asado.
Vení sonando, vas dibujando arco iris en la voz. Cada mañana.
French striker Antoine Griezmann, a figure for Atlético de Madrid, has also interacted with numerous Uruguayan and Argentine players throughout his career. They were the reasons he tried mate at that time. Nowadays, Griezmann knows very well how to prepare mate and does it naturally, as he were Argentine or Uruguayan. He claims that matecito gives him energy and compares it to other hot beverages like tea and coffee. Wu Lei from China, Egypt's Mohamed Salah, English player Kieran Trippier and Korea's Son Heung-min are just a few of the international footballers who have tried and helped spread mate worldwide.
La mueve de arriba para abajo, de abajo para arriba, y te digo para, déjala quieta y toma.
But mate has not only reached the arena of football. Miley Cyrus, for example, has shared moments on social media where she's seen drinking mate, leading many of her followers to feel curious and inspired to try it. For Miley, mate is not just a drink, but also a way to connect with friends and enjoy social moments. Hollywood actor Chris Evans has mentioned mate on several occasions, surprising many of his followers. Through interviews and posts, he has revealed that he enjoys mate for its flavor and the social experience of sharing it with friends. The lead singer of Metallica, James Hetfield, drinks mate and brings his equipment to every show. The musician has been married since 1997 to an Argentine woman who introduced the rocker to this custom.
El mate no es una bebida. El mate es una costumbre, es un ritual, es una cuestión filosófica. El mate es, en el fondo, una conversación, es abrazar al otro. Por eso el mate es también intrínsecamente argentino.
Mate is not just a drink. Mate is a custom, it's a ritual, it's a philosophical matter. It's essentially a conversation, embracing the other. That's why mate is intrinsically Argentine. The expansion of mate is an interesting phenomenon that reflects globalization and cultural exchange, becoming a beverage which is appreciated in various contexts. This was Mate from Argentina to the World, a feature produced by Luis Pandini.
Eras todo ternura.
And with that, we come to the end of today's edition of RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior, in English, for January 14, 2025. My name is Fernando Farias. I'd like to thank you very much for listening to our show that is aired via the shortwaves of WRMI, Miami Radio International, and also via internet on rae.com.ar. Thank you very much for listening again. Join us tomorrow for a new show of RAE in English. Ciao. Hasta mañana.